You are listening to From a Stranger to a Stranger. This is Issa Martel. Today is Rajab the 9th, 1440 of the Islamic Hijri calendar, which equals March the 16th, 2019. It's been a horrific 24 hours. I waited to make this podcast to hear how things played out, and then kind of come at it a little bit level-headed, and after I had some time to think about things. What I'm talking about is yesterday there was a terrorist attack in New Zealand, in a mosque. The people of the mosque were at Friday prayers. The guy walked in fully armed with multiple weapons and just started gunning them down from the back. I mean, they had no chance to top this off. He had a GoPro on and he live streamed it on Facebook. This is the level of evil that we're at these days. It's really sad that, you know, it's come to this. I think like 40 people were killed, another 20 so were injured. I believe the last I had looked at it, which I haven't done in a couple hours because I was at work. So my thoughts on this are really conflicting. I find it difficult that someone would do such a thing. Really, really difficult. I mean, because there were kids, women there, so it's mind-blowing that a person could feel so much hatred to do this in a place of worship. Anywhere, I mean, is horrible. But in this manner is just really extreme. He wrote a manifesto, 73 pages. I read it last night, completely, I don't even know a term. Is it like psychotic? But clearly he planned this for 2 years, and to carry out something like this, strictly against Muslims, because he felt he was getting revenge or payback for all the deaths that Muslims have caused in the past 1400 years. This man, he was a white man. He talked about immigration issues, population issues. There's a narrative that's being promoted now, which I hear and I see in Twitter comments and Facebook comments, YouTube comments, and even amongst speakers, white speakers, typically more on a conservative side, that It's like they are fighting against the concept of, like, white guilt, which is all fine and good, but it's promoting a sense of white nationalism amongst people. And this is the play out of that. Now, of course, people will say it's not, that's not the case, etc. This is one person who was crazy or whatever. And that's true too. It's not a, I mean, clearly this was one incident. But when we take that and compare it to data that says this type of person is the biggest domestic terroristic threat to the U.S., we compare it to data that says last year all domestic murders that were deemed terrorism were caused by or perpetrated by white people, we see a pattern start to form. Now, of course, the response to that is, but Muslims, they are doing this and they are doing that. And that's true. There are Muslim terrorists, or terrorists who happen to be Muslim. But this is like the insidious, like, thing that goes on now, right? That we're getting into this wording, right? I've said this for years, right? Why don't any other category of person who commits a crime, are they not dubbed by their religion, right? So we have a terrorist. It's always Muslim terrorism, right? Islamic terrorism, which there is no such thing as Islamic terrorism. There are Muslim who are terrorists, but there is no Islamic terrorism. You know, we see this all the time in the media, all the time, but we never see Christian terrorist. We never see Jewish terrorist or Hindu terrorism, Buddhist terrorism. We don't see any other person categorized by either their ideology, their religion, their race, before the word terrorist. So this has been going on clearly since 2001. I mean, I'm sure now that I remember it going on previous to that, like in the 90s, when we had the formations of Al-Qaeda, what is it, Osama bin Laden's group, Al-Qaeda, forming with the missile strikes, Bill Clinton era, if you remember that, he fired some missiles and hit a hospital and not the base. We heard this back then, and I'm sure even back into the 80s, because if you remember in movies in the 80s, they had like Muslims were the bad guys in some movies. So we have this being perpetrated in media for all these years. So what does that do? What does that do, like, subconsciously to our society? You know, it's feeding this, you know. And when you have a group of people, now let's say white people in this case, and I'm speaking white Americans here, will speak. Even though this event that happened was in Australia or New Zealand, and the guy who committed it was Australian, I'm an American and I'm in America, so we're relating it to how things play out in this situation. So when you have this idea that Muslims are terrorists, it's bad. It's like this secret agenda, Muslims lie to do all this stuff. One, it's ignorance, because that's not the case. Islam does not teach terrorism. So to say these types of things is ignorant in the sense that you don't know what the actual teachings are. But this ignorance is perpetrated by the likes of certain people in the media, which is just unfortunate. What's even worse now, after this happened, another aspect of our society rears its head, and that is nobody's to blame for anything, right? Now you see this happening. I mentioned it a little, like, but Muslims do this, you know, but we didn't hear about the Christians that were killed in the Philippines, but Muslims are still committing the world's leading terrorist attacks, but this. How about you just own up and admit that a white dude is a terrorist? The Prime Minister of New Zealand said this. Right, but it seems that for white people, it's difficult to ever admit that there could possibly be a white terrorist. Either they're mentally insane, they're crazy, they have issues, whatever. They can't just say they're a terrorist, let alone say that it's a Christian. Of course, conveniently, white people's religion isn't mentioned. Now, the rebuttal to that is that they aren't doing it in the name of their religion, or they're not screaming, God is great, or whatever excuse you try to come up with. Fine, they're not doing that. But they are Christian, right? And if you're a Christian committing terrorism, you are a Christian terrorist. So if you're gonna say you're a Muslim terrorist, you gotta be balanced, be fair and balanced, and say so-and-so is a Christian terrorist. In this case, it's more clear than anything because the guy had phrases written on his gun. He, in his manifesto, he quoted biblical passages. Even though personally I wouldn't say he was a Christian, I'm just using the standards set up by the media or whomever is this promoting this ideology. That being said, it's to me it's not surprising that this happened. I'm not surprised at all. And, you know, we've been saying it for a while. We've been saying it. Just saying it and saying it. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And we see it, right? We see, it's not just Islamophobia, as it's called. But it's not that. It's also anti-Semitism, you know, racism, everything that comes into play in our country now. It's unfortunately, I'm just saying what is apparent, that our leader, Donald Trump, seems to have opened the door for people to openly express themselves in hatred. So it's not, like I said, it's not surprising. It's not surprising at all. And it literally leaves me at a loss for words. You know, even what to say. What can I say? What can you say to this? Why is this happening? You know, what causes this hate? And in my personal opinion, it's fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of something new, fear of change. These people literally fear that their white culture is going to be destroyed or done away with, you know? Which is crazy when you think about it, because in America, as well as Australia and New Zealand, the white culture to become established destroyed the native cultures. So, you know, it's like they're fearing, you know, what it's like, they're fearing ultimate payback or something, you know. Which could, I mean, which is a legitimate fear, I guess, if there was some secret agenda that is going on, that Muslims are trying to take over the U.S. or the West or anywhere. That's not happening. We don't even have one worldwide, like, leader of Muslims, right? Like in the church, there's the Pope, you know. I'm sure there's equivalent people in the other denominations of Christianity. Muslims don't have that at all. We don't even have like a top scholar figurehead in the U.S. that everyone's like, oh yeah, go to this dude. He'll make a statement for the Muslims. You know, he's the dude. We don't have that anywhere. And maybe you can say there's like the Grand Mufti in Mecca, but he doesn't have any power over the Muslims worldwide, and he is strictly a religious scholar that mainly deals with the problems in Saudi Arabia. Sorry, I'm drinking as well. So, you know, this idea that Muslims are taking over is false. Muslim immigrants, as well as Mexican immigrants and any other immigrant that comes here, are coming here for a better life. Ironically, typically to flee the countries that we Western people run by white people have destroyed. You know, so it's the whole thing is like completely crazy. Completely crazy. We've been in their countries just since 9/11. Right, we'll just talk about Afghanistan here. we've been there since 2001, right? If I was in the military in 2001, say I was just in my 20s, which I was. I was in my late 20s in 2001. I was about to be deployed, so my wife or girlfriend or whomever got pregnant. We had a kid. This year, that kid can be going over there to fight in the same country I fought in 18 years ago. Just crazy. You know, that's crazy to think about. And if I happened to be career military, you know, I could still technically be in the military. So my kid, you know, and even me together, you know, could be over there. So it's wild, man. It's wild. But, you know, I'm really just dumbfounded in everything. In just our state of our society, how much ignorance there is, how much hatred there is. And I don't really know a way out of it. Because this was straight up crazy and evil. We had 9/11 happen here in the U.S. Most people, if you're in my age group, clearly remember that. Remember what happened that day and the time around it, right? That was like bad. Horrific day, you know. We had a lot of loss of life and we watched it play out on television. This, though, I think is a little more evil because the person attacked his fellow citizens. Like, 9/11 was basically a foreign, it was classic terrorism you saw, which was terrorists hijack something, it's in a different country, they go do it, and they cause death and destruction and terror. But in that situation, we responded by attacking another country, right? Like we, meaning the U.S., it basically went to war against an enemy. But in this case, who are you going to go to war with, right? This is like right now in the U.S., I'm sure there are people like this guy. So it's just that we're just waiting to get slaughtered. You know, and that's the real terrorism, right? That's the, by definition, that is terrorism. You know? So, from my point of view, this type of thing is more, the death toll isn't as high, but the psychological play out is much worse. And it's because of that factor, because it's, you know, like, now it's like your neighbor you're worried about, right? Some guy you might talk to every day, you know, is he like this? You know, pretty much you know that Muslims living in America aren't like Osama bin Laden. That ain't gonna happen. We haven't had any Muslim domestic terrorism attack. So, I mean, there was like, I guess there was the guy in Fort Hood or whatever. And then there was like the shoe bomber or something. Both, they're the guy who tried to light his shoes on fire in the plane or whatever. But this is essentially much more sick because the majority of the population is white, right? The majority of the population is not Muslim. So I think it's probably like less than 1% of the population is Muslim. So when you have the majority being white, this ideology is white nationalism, white supremacy, whatever. That's when the psychological effect comes in of the terrorism, because now it's like, dang, like anyone. And to prove this point, like I said, the comments you see. You see the comments, the reaction of people to this event, you see. They openly make hateful statements publicly, online, for all the people to see. When you are that ballsy to do that, I mean, something's wrong. Something is wrong. Something is wrong when you feel that there are so many other people who think like you that you can make this statement and there's not going to be any backlash. So I don't know what to do other than address it. You know, I don't know. One issue that I've been saying since 9/11, and this is more Muslim oriented, is that people need to have security. Why don't mosques have security? Every Muslim convert, American Muslim convert, has been saying this. But the organizations in America are not run by American Muslim converts, and American Muslim converts are kind of shut out of the picture. So they're run by immigrants who don't, I mean, they may be second generation immigrants, they may have been raised here and everything, but they don't know the culture like the converts know the culture, right? So, you know, here in America, you know, it's kind of like it's waiting to happen again. Or not again, it's waiting to happen here. And I'll say this too, like, why don't churches have security? You do have, I guess, there are some churches with security. Same with synagogues. These places, in this situation, one, security, like, it may not deter someone like this from coming in, and clearly in this situation, the man was armed so much that unless they're professional security, he probably could have taken them out and entered the building anyway. But his intent, he was beyond stopping intent. He's clearly at that level of crazy. But for the average random shooter type of person, active shooter, that would prevent it. That would, I'm not going to say 100% would, but it would be something that might make them think twice. And also, you'd have someone to defend. So, we've been saying this for years. Mosques need to have security. I don't understand why they don't. I don't understand the mentality of, well, I do understand the mentality. The mentality is clearly the mentality of people who come from countries that aren't, that don't have guns. So to them, it's like completely like scary to have someone with a, like, either a gun or security. They don't want to have present the impression of bad, like, oh, we're a target. They want to present a peaceful image, but that's not the reality of the world, especially in this country. That ain't it. So if you're a Muslim and you're listening to this, tell your mosque to get security. Also, why ain't you nobody in there? And I guess in that, I don't know the gun laws in New Zealand. I believe you can't really even own a gun, or it's difficult to. But in America, you can own a gun. So why don't Muslims have weapons, you know? I can tell you one thing. As an American, if you go to the gun range, those people who you are quote-unquote afraid of or whatever, you're not going to be afraid of because you're part of the gun culture then. So you will have the possibility to break down some barriers and present yourself as, I don't want to say normal citizen, but take it for what it is. You know, why don't we know how to defend ourselves? This is such part of the aspect of me personally converting to Islam, was the idea that Muslims fought. It was like this Jedi type of thing. You know? Like, you were able to fight, but also be religious. Which was a thing in Christianity. It was all about love. You know? But with Muslims, you can fight. And anybody can be the priest equivalent, the imam. So, I don't know, man. We got a lot of issues going on. This was extremely horrifying, extremely sad. I hope this dude, I don't even know what. I don't know if they even can kill people in New Zealand. Like, I don't know if there's a death penalty. I don't know anything. I don't know if I want to see this person rot in jail, if I'd like to see him executed. I don't know. That's how my mind is right now, a day later after the event. I don't know what I would want. Obviously, I would want justice to be done. But what is justice here? I mean, you murdered 40 people. I would imagine that's the death penalty, if they have it. I would certainly hope that's the death penalty in America. You know, but there's that flip side. Well, we have freedom. you know, and obviously we don't have freedom to murder people, but this ideology, they'll argue, you know, that they have freedom to have this ideology, just as Muslims are free to have Islam, even though Islam is against the Constitution or whatever BS that they try to spin. So I don't know. Someone asked me a question or made a comment today that about multiculturalism, and if it's possible, right? If it's really possible to have a multicultural society. And it got me thinking, I don't know if under Western democracy it is possible. I think that if we look in history, even in the U.S., up until, I would say, my lifetime, this recent wave of immigrants that've been coming in, since, like, I guess, the 80s. The Muslim immigrants that have been coming in. They still have set up neighborhoods where it's mainly, like, Middle Eastern groups of people. Here in Minneapolis, it's Somalis. Somalis got a whole chunk of the city. They just all set up shop there. So, you know, we see this, but going all the way back through our history, look at New York, right? All the old cities, you had Chinatown, right? Little Italy, Germantown, you name it, you know. Brooklyn had all the Jews living there. They still do, but, you know, you have this going on. So, is it really multicultural when everyone is still separated into their own communities? Yes, it is from a sense that we all live in the same place, but we're not all, and we're like interacting to some degree, but we're still isolated, and it's like a isolation from each other. Even down to like being black and white or minority, you know. Puerto Ricans are here, black people are here, white people are here. And when I thought about it, this is how it always is, right? When you look through history, you have the old cities. They always had districts that were, like, for example, like the Jewish district, the Christian district, the Muslim district, or whatever. So the difference is then there was either like theocracy or autocracy. And now we have, so it was like one way, right? There was a clear rulership where everything was done this way. Yes, you all, everyone was allowed to live there, but there was still one overriding rule set or belief system. So in the Islamic Empire, it was obviously the countries were Islamic, but you still had other religions living there. But here in our type of democracy, we don't have that. We don't have, like, we have the will of the people. And is that an issue? Is that the issue? Right? Because without a clear picture, right, where, for example, this dude who was white and had these belief that white people are being out, the minorities are having more children than white people, so eventually the white people will be done with in their own countries, right? If you're having that belief and have no overall system of belief that guides you or your country or whatever, you're left with, well, that certainly is a possibility. I mean, obviously, if you crunch numbers, that's what it's looking like is going to happen. You're going to have a loss of identity. Or is it really? Is it really a loss of identity? Or is it just your identity grows or changes or morphs? You know, why are you so afraid of that? I don't know. This, like I said, I don't know this issue. But if there was something, and I'm not saying this needs to be the case here in America, but if there was, like, say there was an actual state religion, right? Say it was Christianity. Then we would be, it would be, like, clear, okay, your culture is not going to be trumped because the government has established that this is the culture. So, you know, is that something? I don't know. Is democracy, where it's just the will of the people, eventually, you know, yes, I would say that if by birth rate a minority group eventually surpasses what the majority was, even here in America, if it's, I mean, Hispanic people or African American people, once they, by birth rate, become the majority, Spanish speaking people, right? Then they vote. And guess what? Then they're going to vote for what they want, you know? And at that point, you know, that's when the white people, in this example, lose their identity or lose their culture because they're being essentially, like, voted out, which is the system, unfortunately, that they wanted and heralded as the great system. So I don't know. I know I just kind of dumped a lot of stuff here, and it was just me rattling off my thoughts on it from this day. It wasn't really planned because I just did a podcast the other day, 2 days ago, kind of outlining what my intent was for now, but this happened and I figured I'd comment on it now. So there's something, we can see how it plays out. So I'm signing off for now. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.